Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is just so good to be connected again through this virtual platform and just celebrating God's grace and mercy within our lives. So much is going on in the world. We've got Haiti earthquakes all the way to Afghanistan, and we've got our problems here in the United States with this COVID-19 on the surge again. But through all of that, it is so good to know that God has us. He's been a wonderful provider. He's covered us, and he continues to keep us, and that is good news. That's something to shout about. As you can see in our background, we're going into a new series today, so I'm excited to get into that. But I want to thank you for staying connected to ebcnc.com, using the app. Thank you for your giving. God loves a cheerful giver, just all that you do. On ebcnc.com, we have so much that's going on. We've got our Monday Bible study / special events. One special event you really need to look at when you get time, if you haven't already, is our prayer time for our schools. The Hamptons led into that, and we had our kids praying, and it was such a wonderful, blessed time. As I was praying through it, I was just excited to see the kids as they're matriculating, and they're just connecting with God. So please, please check that out at ebcnc.com. Also, we've got our Tuesday noonday Bible studies, our Wednesday Bible study, where we're in the book of Luke. So we've transitioned from Joshua to Luke. And also our 8:45 in-person services and 10:45 in-person services and our 10 o'clock online. So there's so many things that we can just be built up in the Lord and grow in him. We definitely need that in these days and time. Well, again, I'm ready to jump into our series. And so I'm going to ask one of our ministers to give us a scripture and prayer. See you soon.
First of all, I give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and always honor our pastor. That's very, very important. Y'all may not realize that. Coming from the book of Psalms, the 27 Psalms, beginning with the first version, I'm old-fashioned, so I'm in the original King James. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked and even my enemies and my foes come upon me to eat upon my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though as a host should even encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though the war shall not rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have, I desire of the Lord, that I will seek after my dwelling in the house of the Lord in all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire his temple. For in time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secrets of his tabernacle. He shall hide me, he shall set me upon a rock. And that rock that he referring to is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Most holy and all wise God, our Heavenly Father, we first of all ask you to forgive us of all of our sins, things that we've said, thought, or done that were so contrary to your teaching and to what you said for us to do. For we all have sinned and come short of your glory. Father God, thank you for the word that you placed in the heart of Pastor Woods this morning. Thank you for allowing our ears to hear. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that each heart, each person that heard, that the word would sink down into our hearts, that we can allow the Holy Spirit to take control, that we can just stop thinking about what we want to do and just let the Holy Spirit guide us, because he will not guide us into a way that's contrary to you. We praise you, Father God, because you love us enough. You first loved us enough to call us and woo us to you. Thank you so much, Father God, because other than that, we would just be just like the television, just like the news media. We would be thinking and saying and gnarling away at each other. But thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit within us that we are constrained and restrained, that we can just open up our mouths and your words will come out. If we put our words in our your words in our heart, then your words will come out of our mouth, come out of our heart, that we can love one another and lift up one another, encourage one another, pray for one another. And those that do not know you, Lord God, when we open up our mouth, they too have a chance to know who you are in the free pardon of their sins. So, Father God, as we go further into our, the day that you have allowed us to have, I pray, Heavenly Father, that we will run up across somebody that needs a prayer, needs a word of encouragement, needs a pat on the back, needs a stroke of love in their life. Thank you, Lord God. I pray for Sister Sarah, who's going on to, this is her last Sunday here. I pray her success in you, Heavenly Father, in everything that she does, Lord God, that she will just follow your guiding and your leading, Heavenly Father. Father, I'm aware that there are people that I'm in contact with, Lord God, who are so lonely, Lord God. But I thank God that you put me in a place where I can give them words of your words of encouragement, yes, and lift those people up, people in their 90s and 80s, Lord God. Mm. Father, as we leave this place, I ask that you go with us, be with us, keep us strong, protect us, give us opportunities to show yourself strong. These things we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that makes this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say, all together.
glad to be saved. I say that so often, but I am glad to be saved and to be covered under what Jesus has done. Well, today we're getting back into a new series. We have just come from dealing with the Holy Spirit and His guidance within our lives. And if you remember months ago, and I kept saying it throughout the weeks, that God kept putting a word on my heart, and that was distractions. So we're going into a series called Distractions and Fear. Distractions and Fear. And our topic, a scripture that we're going to hold up, because when I was praying through this and just thinking about it, this scripture really encompasses where we're going in this series and why we struggle so much. The scripture topic is 2 Timothy chapter 1, and that 7th verse. It says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So 2 Timothy 1:7 again, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." So we're going to be lifting up that particular scripture as we go through this series. I'm going to be searching in the scriptures as we go line upon line, precept upon precept. And I want you to be searching in the scriptures. And I want us to all be thinking about, why are we distracted? Why is that so much fear that comes within our hearts, and what we can do to combat that? And so that's what this series is going to be about. Well, before I go any further, I just want to pray, and we'll jump into our scripture for the day. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. I thank you so much for your immense grace and your mercy within our lives. Lord, thank you for your saving spirit. And I pray for those who are looking in today. Lord, if they don't, someone that is looking doesn't know you, would you help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead, and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Help them to receive that gift. Now, Father, as we approach your word, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Therefore, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Have your way, Lord. We just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture I want to focus in today, we want to go to the beginning of the book, Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, and I want you to focus in on that 4th verse. Genesis 4 and 4. "Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." Listen to this again, Genesis 4:4. "Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." I want to speak from a title today, Don't Let It Control You. Don't let it control you. So if you're sitting with somebody, just look at them and just say, don't let it control you. If you're on the chat, I want to give you a little time to type it out. I'm going to challenge some of you. Don't let it control you. Just put it in that chat, because this is really going to be resonated as we go through the scriptures today. And just a little history. It's about 4,000 BC, thereabouts, and we're in the Fertile Crescent, Eden, Haran. So much has taken place already. We know our forefather Adam and Mother Eve started from this area, and everything was beautiful. It was perfect for them until the enemy comes in, and both Adam and Eve, they fall, and sin is introduced into the land. From here, God never leaves man. God is always working things out for us, even when we go the wrong way. But also, we see that the enemy never gives up. There ought to be some amens. And so I want to quickly just jump into this first scripture to see Adam and Eve after the fall. Genesis 4, 1 and 2, now Adam and knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. And then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Our first point is the happy family. Happy family. Now, I put this here because it is. The fall has taken place. Adam and Eve, they have been kicked out of that sanctuary that righteousness because of their sin. And so now they're in the world. They're on the outside. Remember, that angel was put up to guard them from coming back to get to that tree of life. And so now this whole process is occurring. They're just growing. They're getting used to their new surroundings, and the family is growing. And I love this portion of the scripture because we see that Cain is born and Abel. And so now we've got Adam, Eve, Cain and Abel. They seem like the perfect family, the happy family. But I want to let you know that as we're dealing with this topic of distraction and fear, the enemy always is set to come in within our lives. And oftentimes when we are not paying attention, when we think everything is going well, that's when the enemy can come in and get us. There ought to be some amens. Let me show you some scriptures. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. As Christians, we always need to be on guard. The enemy is about us. In 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. To go against these distractions, or rather resist these distractions, we've got to make sure that we're constantly staying aware. We've got to make sure that we're constantly being led of the Holy Spirit. And even as Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, their family has grown, and we see that everything seems to be in place, we're going to see the enemy slide in so quickly. And this is a word to our families and a word to our church and to our nations that we need to stay aware, because the enemy never gives up. Let me show you Genesis 4:3-5. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Here's another point, and we've got a lot kind of encompassed within these scriptures. The point is, you must do it God's way. You must do it God's way. So we got that happy family, Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, they're all together. And then this offering comes, and there becomes a divide. Cain is angry. The book of Hebrews actually gives us some insight on least on the offering side. I've often dug into this scripture, and it was years before this teaching that I actually started to understand what was going on. Hebrews 9:22 says, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. Don't let it control you. Now this is important here. God had already prescribed with the fall that there needed to be a blood sacrifice. You remember when Adam and Eve, when they fell, God actually clothed them. He put a skin on them. That meant that the sacrifice had taken place. And we believe via scriptures that we don't have that they were actually taught. They were taught that a sacrifice now needed to be made of blood. And we see that throughout the Old Testament. But here Cain did the fruit of the ground. He brought a sacrifice of the fruit of the ground, but that was not what God asked for. Remember, we've got to do it God's way. Don't let it control you. So Cain, at this point, we already see an attitude. We already see a thought pattern occurring within that. Warren Wiersbe, he writes and gives us an idea of a little contextual background. When God killed Adam and clothed Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:21, he taught the significance of blood sacrifice, Hebrews 9:22, which we talked about. Cain brought the wrong sacrifice in his hands and had the wrong attitude in his heart. His was not a sacrifice of faith, and God rejected it. How often have we become distracted because we were determined to do it our own way? We've just decided that this is what we're going to give to God. This is what we're going to walk in when God tells us to do something else. That's a distraction of the enemy getting into our minds, thinking that somehow that God's just going to change for us. But remember, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And we have to lean to his understanding, not our understanding. Don't let it control you. Look at Genesis 4, 6, and 7. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Don't let it control you. Here's another point. Let it go. You might want to put that in the chat. Tell somebody, let it go. This is critical. As distractions come upon us, as the enemy brings things in our life, or at least introduces those things to us, we've got to let those things go. Notice at this point, Cain becomes angry. He brings the wrong sacrifice, and now it's been rejected. It hasn't been accepted. So he is angry. So instead of just changing, getting the right sacrifice, he allows anger to come in. Now, we all understand that we all get angry at times. Ephesians 4:26 gives us some insight. It says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." 27, "Nor give place to the devil." So at this point, there's a simmering that's going on. Cain has a decision to make. Will he continue on in this anger or this distraction that the enemy has brought into his life, or will he change course? Benjamin Franklin said this, I love this quote, "Anger is never without a reason, but seldom a good one." I'm going to repeat that. Anger is never without a reason, but seldom a good one. We've got to understand in our lives, we've got to let things go. How often in our lives have we gotten caught up into something, or a discussion gets into an argument because we wouldn't let things go? How often have we allowed the enemy to get the upper hand because we just wouldn't let it go? Maybe it's something that occurred on your job, and I want to encourage you today just to let it go. God is faithful. He's always been there for you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Don't let it control you. Genesis 4:8. "Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him." Wow, what a sad interaction. We go from the happy family, now we see murder. Here's another point, blinded by the enemy. Blinded by the enemy. Now, Cain here at this point, he does not retreat from that anger that's within his heart. And so instead of just having a conversation with God and trying to fix what had occurred, notice what he does. He takes out that anger on his brother Abel. And we see here at this point, it says that he rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Isn't it amazing how the enemy can come in and blindside us and bring blindness over our eyes only because we allow him to? Some people have said that people get so angry that they can't see. They're blinded with rage. And so this whole process, we see Cain here, and also his heart is revealed. Let me show you his ideology from 1 John 3:10. It says, "In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Listen to this, 12th verse. "Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous." I want to go back to that 12th verse because this really gives us an insight on his background, his thought pattern. "Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he ye murder him, because his works were evil and his brothers righteous. Don't let it control you. This whole process of Cain, we really get to see how the enemy brings in distractions, how he begins to manipulate our emotions at times. Jesus confirms the righteousness of Abel in Matthew 23:35, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Bereshit, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. But even in all this, Cain again had a choice. Would he continue to this murdering spirit, his thought? Let me show you something. James actually brings this out, that we all have a choice. Cain had a choice. James 1:13, it says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Don't let it control you. So this whole process that occurred within Cain, he had a decision to make. Will I pull back from these distractions? Will I not allow the enemy to blindside me and bring blindness upon me? Will I make a decision not to go with this anger and allow it to be full blown and show love to my brother? But we see here that Cain goes down the distraction path, and now we find ourselves at a terrible point. Genesis 4:9, then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Wow, don't let it control you. Here's another point. Look at yourself. Look at yourself. Now, I want to be honest with you. This is tough, because I'm like, God, why didn't you show up before the murder took place? Why didn't you just stop it? Why didn't you reprimand him right there at that point? And I don't have all the answers to that. All I do know is that God does give us a free will as humans to make decisions and choices. We see that. And so after the choice has been made, God shows up and God does something. He wants Cain to see what he's done. Oftentimes, as we're in distractions and we've been blinded, we really don't see the magnitude of the choice that we've made. He asked that question again. He says, Abel, where is he? Where is your brother? And then we find out the ideas that are going through Cain's mind. God questions Cain, and he didn't do it in a certain way that we may think. The question is very concise, to the point. He's not like spanking him at this point. He just wants Cain to see the decision that he made. Then Cain does something. He flips it. Instead of answering the question, he actually goes into another question, which is in a form of a lie. Notice at this point, he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? So he lies, he deflects it, and he turns it around. Jesus actually shows the nature of Cain in here, who really now has chosen his daddy. There ought to be some amens. At this point, Cain has gone down a path and he's embraced the father of distractions. He's embraced the father of fear. John 8:44 brings out, Jesus says this, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Yes, Cain has embraced his daddy at this point, and it is not Father God, but it is the devil. He then becomes, as we talked about, Cain brings this out, he gets sarcastic with God. Yes, he gets sarcastic with God by saying, am I my brother's keeper? Now, this is important, because what Cain was doing, he was actually becoming curt. He was rude with God because he was playing off of a word. Actually, Abel's name means keeper. And so he was just kind of twisting around the name of his brother to put in this question back with God. How many times in our lives have we become distracted, and before we knew it, we have sinned against our brothers, we've sinned against our sisters, and then we've sinned against God. We have actually went in front of God. I must tell you, just today, I was talking to someone, and I had given this testimony earlier, and I got to talk to this person again who has decided that they no longer believe in the Bible. They no longer believe in Jesus Christ. And so they came to me to let me know that they no longer believe. And I said, well, let's sit down. Let's go through line upon line. Think logically about this. And they was like, no, I know who you are. I know that you are a pastor, and I know what you're going to do. And I find that interesting that people can have these thoughts. They can have these platforms that they stand on, but yet they want to tell you what they believe, but they don't want to hear what you've got to believe. And this is the whole process with Cain at this point. God is saying, where is your brother? Don't you realize what has occurred? But Cain does not even want to listen. Let me show you something. Genesis 4:10. And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be on the earth. Here's our final point today. Consequences. Consequences. Yes, when we get caught up in distractions and we allow a fear to rule our lives, there are always going to be consequences. As we look at our world, we see the distractions, we see the fear that has been wrought, and we see the consequences that are occurring. Confucius said this. He says, when anger rises, think of the consequences. When anger arises, think of the consequences. Genesis 4:10 is very insightful in this scripture. Notice that first part. And he said, what have you done? In our lives, we've got to realize that we have a worthy adversary that's coming against us. He's bringing all kinds of things. But I want to let you know, don't let it control you. God has given us the Holy Spirit. He's guiding us. He's giving us insight through the 66 books that we can trust him. The same question was given to Cain's mom also when she went through that fall. Let me show you Genesis 3:13. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? That shining light comes on there. The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. And so we find out from this, we need to watch out for generational distractions. There ought to be some hallelujahs out there. Generational distractions. The same thing that got your mom, the same thing that got your dad, the enemy brought to him, to them, he can bring it right back to your generation. And I've seen this over and over again because people are letting things control them that were passed down from generation to generation. But I want you to know that you can trust the Lord, that he is faithful. He can break those yokes. He can break those bonds if only we decide to not let it control us and let those things go. Because of Cain allowing the distraction control him, a severe consequence was dealt to him. Look at Genesis 4:12. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be on the earth. I am telling you, with those consequences, they cause problems, not just for the individual that's caught up in the distraction and fear, but all those that are around him. We need to understand that the enemy is stepping up his attack of distractions in this day and time. There ought to be some hallelujahs. Look at United States. Look at the world. All the distractions that we've got. We've got political people that are smart and intellectual, but they're caught up in distractions. We've got our major leaders in our states and our cities caught up in distractions. We've got distractions in the church. All of these things are occurring, all because Revelation 12:12 says something. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Yes, the enemy is stepping up his attacks, and we see this confusion, this spirit of confusion and distraction and fear coming upon our land. But that is why we need to go to the cross of Calvary. We need to never forget what Jesus the Christ did. Please understand, the blood of Abel cried out because of the murder against him, but I'm so glad there's a better one. His name is Christ. Christ, his blood, Jesus, on the cross of Calvary for us. He carries our sins and bears our griefs and our sorrows on that cross because he realized that we would be combated by all these distractions and fear upon us. But I am so glad for the blood of Jesus. Robert Lowry said it like this: what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He even got to this stanza. He says, now by this I'll overcome. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll reach my home. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. On that cross of Calvary, Jesus died for us. He's carrying our sins. They put him in the cold tomb. But I'm so glad to let you know that 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory so that we cannot let these things control us. We can let it go and we can realize that all our hope is in Christ alone and that he's working it out and he's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you today, don't let it control you. God has done 100% for us. He's taken care of it. He's fixed it for us. We have just got to trust him in the midst of the things the enemy brings against us. So many have gotten off the wrong path and they've gone their own way. And as they're walking down that wrong path, they find themselves in the midst of all these distractions, just like Cain. But saints of God, I want to encourage you today to know that God is faithful, that you can trust him. And when you feel like you're losing it, I want to encourage you to pray, get in his word, and you can let those things go and say, it's not going to control me. As we're in these dark times, we need encouragement to realize that our God is faithful and he's left us here for a reason, that we can allow his light shining through us in a bright way that souls can be saved and be brought to the knowledge of the truth. If you're listening today and you're saying, Pastor, I don't know him. I don't know that Christ. I encourage you. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to him but by the Father opening up his spirit. All you have to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, said you will be saved. It's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift from God. Would you receive that gift today? Right where you are, ask him into your heart. He will save you to the utmost. And I encourage you, get connected with a local fellowship that you can grow in God's word and you can push off those distractions and the fear of the enemy that he brings upon you, that you not find yourself in a dead-end position, in a hole, that you can find yourself on the right path following the Lord. Maybe you're saved and you just need to be encouraged now. And I want to encourage you to focus in more on the Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and push back again against those distractions and fears in your life. And know God is there. Call on him. Let it go. Don't let it control you. At this time, I just want to take a moment just to pray for you specifically in your situation. As you're sitting there and listening, I just want you to just kind of process. You might want to say it out loud, what you're going through right now, the struggle that you're with and the distraction. You're like, Pastor, I got some distractions in my life. Say it out loud. God already knows it. But again, remember God, he comes to Cain and says, what have you done? That questioning. Oftentimes, we need to realize where we are at, the situations that we find ourselves in, the distractions that we've allowed ourselves to flow in, whatever it is, call it out right now and give it to the Lord as we pray. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much that we found out today in these scriptures that we don't have to let it control us. we can let these things go. The enemy is bringing all kinds of distractions, all kinds of fears within our lives. But Lord, thank you that greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. That's what your word says. Lord, I pray for those who are listening and looking in, and as they've called out those distractions that they realize that they're in right now. Father, I ask you to heal them. Lord, I ask you to change their situation. I ask you to encourage them to lean not to their own understanding, but in all their ways to acknowledge you. And you said that you would direct their paths. Lord, there are many on the wrong path right now. They find themselves in deep, deep holes, Lord. They find themselves just trying to figure out which way to go. But I thank you, like a mighty rushing wind, you'll come in right now, Lord, and you'll give them understanding. You will illuminate their situation. They can step into you, Father. You said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, God, that we've got your promises, that we don't have to let it control us. Lord, we give it to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Won't it be grand? Won't it be grand? Won't it be grand? Won't it be grand? I'm going home to live with Jesus. Won't it be grand? Can y'all help me? Won't it be grand? Won't it be grand? Won't it be grand? Won't it be grand? I'm going home to live with Jesus. Won't it be grand? Have anybody got their business fixed? How many know you're going home to live with Jesus when you leave here? Just put your hands together and clap. Ooh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, Lord. Never been to heaven, but I've been told, squeeze up there, they are paved with gold. I'm going home to live with Jesus. Won't it be grand? You hear me, Tyrone? Oh, won't it be grand? Won't it be grand? Won't it be grand? Won't it be grand? I'm going home, live with Jesus. Won't it be grand? Listen. One of these mornings, it won't be long, you're gonna look for me and I'll be gone. Well, I'm going home just to live with Jesus. Won't it be grand? Oh, won't it be grand? Won't it be grand? Won't it be grand? Won't it be grand? I'm going home, live with Jesus. Won't it be grand? You don't believe I've been redeemed. Follow me down by the Jordan stream. I'm going home, live with Jesus. Won't it be grand? One more time, here we go. Oh, won't it be grand? Won't it be? I said, won't it be grand? Hey. Oh, I'm going home to live with Jesus. Won't it be grand? yeah.